Welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. My name is Leon Welicki, and I'm a Group Program Manager in the Azure Experiences team. In this session, I'm going to tell you what's new in the Azure portal. And this is how we'll do it. We are going to go on a journey that starts from the very first day that you start using Azure, that you join Azure as a customer, until you become an expert. I'm going to be introducing all the new features in the context of the different steps in that journey. So let's start from the beginning, the Azure portal. It's the main user experience for acquiring, managing, and monitoring your Azure resources. There are two ways in which you can access the Azure portal. One is through portal.azure.com. That's our production environment. The other option that you have is preview.portal.azure.com, and that is our preview environment, as the name implies. In that environment, you can get early access to features that we are working on, and even better, as you use those features early and you give us your feedback, you can influence their direction. So, have two environments. Let's get to the first step in our journey. You created a subscription, and you just came to the portal for the very first time. As you get into the portal, the first thing that you will see is our Welcome to Azure dashboard, or how we call it, the default dashboard. We just updated this dashboard to be more oriented towards helping you to get started. And there are three things that stand out. You can do multiple things here, right? But there are three things that we want to stand out. One is learn more about Azure. So you see there's a very big tile that says Quick Start Tutorials, which basically provides you access to the new documentation in the updated Documentation Center. You might also decide that you want to go and start creating resources and exploring. You might create a web app, a VM, SQL storage, or you might be not so sure and want to take the tour, such that you can learn the basics of how to move around in the portal. If you're a new customer and you come for the very first time, we are going to show you the tour right away. If you're an existing customer, you can run it anytime you want at your own pace. So let's take a look at that. In this case, we are seeing the dashboard as a new customer would see it. The tour is available in the Help and Support area, first option, Launch Guided Tour. This is a very conventional tour, by the way, but the most important thing about it is that it shows you the main navigational elements in the portal, such that you can learn the basics to get around. See, how to create something, access to your resources and favorite them, finding things, etc. Again, you don't have to go through the entire tour. You can quit anytime you want, and of course, you can start it again anytime you want as well. So we got started, we got the tour, we learned the basics. What do we do next? What's the next step? The next step is let's start creating resources. What I mean by that is create a web app, a VM, SQL database. And there are a few things that I'd like to mention in this case. The path that you might be very familiar with, getting to the new icon that we saw in the tour right now, and getting to the marketplace and to find what you want, that didn't change. However, the destination of that path did change. The create screens, those screens that you get where you provide all the data, for example, for your new web app or your new VM, we have changed them significantly across the board. Basically, what we are doing is we are working on simplifying them. And our goal is reducing the friction and making it easier for you to start using Azure services. The next thing that you will notice that changed is one very common path for resource creation is when you go to browse through the different list of resources, like list of VMs, list of SQL databases, list of web apps. And always at the top of those screens, you have an icon that lets you add a new item. However, when you're new to Azure, you might miss that one because, again, you're maybe not familiar with our interaction patterns. In those cases, whenever you get to an empty list for any resource, we are improving the experience and offering you some explanation of what that resource is, such that you can learn what you're looking at, access to the documentation, so you can even learn more and decide if this is what you want or not. And if that's the case, also a very clear call to action, so you can go and create your first instance of that resource. We're trying to get you going as fast and frictionless as possible. The next one, as you get more expertise with Azure, it's very likely that you're going to start growing into using Azure Resource Manager templates, which let you encapsulate one or multiple resources in a template that you can execute multiple times. Once you get to that point, the Azure portal provides great tools to not only manage, but author, execute, and monitor the execution of your template. And let's take a look at that. So, in this case, the quickest path to the template editor is you go to our global search and you type custom template. The first result is the Playa custom template. So hit enter, and there we are. One of the things that you will notice that changed if you were using this before is that this initial screen has way more options to help you orient on what to do next. You can read the docs and learn more about templates if you're new to it. If you're an expert user, you can start from scratch building a template from an empty editing experience. We have some templates that we are putting there just to get you started that you can use as an example of how to kick the tires. But also, one remarkable thing about these templates is we have a very big repository of templates available. It's community-driven in GitHub. So basically, not only you can use them, you can contribute, you can change them, and you don't need to use it only in the portal. You can go direct to GitHub. If you're in GitHub, we have a very clear path to the portal. We'll use the same experience that I'm showing you right now. But if you're in the portal, you don't need to go to GitHub to check what templates do you have. Actually, in this case, for example, I'm trying to create a template that has a web app. Let's see web app and DocDB, for example. I'm going to start typing. And right now what I'm doing is filtering the list of templates that are in GitHub. And in this case, I type web, got a few of them. I think that one that I'm looking for, let's see web and DocDB. I cannot, oops, I lost it. Sorry for that. Let's try again. Web, DocDB, and web app. Once I found the template, some description, this is what I'm looking for. Even I could go to GitHub to see all the files. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit this template. Let's see what's inside. And again, I have a full-fledged code editing experience in the portal. Syntax coloring, highlighting, even more than that, syntax, you know, checking as well. And I can decide that I want to change this template manually. Also, I don't have to always do that. Let's say that I want to add a storage account. I could manually do it, or we have some helper functions that make it easier to add more resources. I said storage account. I'll pick this one, say my storage, hit OK, and now I have a storage account in my template. It's web, DocDB, and storage. As you can see, we have an outline. This is very similar to what you see in Visual Studio. So if you're familiar with that experience, you can use this right away, same pattern. And I'm going to jump directly to the storage account. There's a problem with this template. There's something that's not great. The name is hard-coded. So one thing that I'd like is I'm providing, I know that this template provides a name for the web app. There's a parameter for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the template to have the same name both for the web app and the storage account. I did that. One other thing that I would like to do also is in the parameters, I like to go to that parameter that I just used and indicate that it's not only the web app, but it's also the storage account. So let's go find it. It's here. It's a web app and storage account. Done. And again, you see, I mean, I could edit the code, but also I can move around the template, which typically are quite big, through the outline. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to save it. And the next thing that you will see is that we create a full-fledged form to help you adding the values for the template. Not only we create a form, and we have several fields, but also this form is based on all the metadata for the template. So check this out. Web app name, we just said that it was the web app and storage account. So the string that I just changed is available here. Also, if I would decide to create this template, we run some validations as well. So we are trying to give you all the tools to help you be successful deploying your templates into Azure. So going back, we got started, we learned how to move around, we created a few resources. What comes next? What you need to do next? Well, you need to find those resources. And how do you find them? We have several tools that I'd like to quote, I'd like to call out. The first one is the global search. So this search box that is at the top of the screen is always available. No matter what you're doing, that search box is there. And as soon as it gets the focus, not only provides you with the option of searching, but also shows all the recently, or not all, but the top 10 last recently used resources. So if what you're looking for is something that you recently used, you can jump right away to it. If it's not, you can start typing. And obviously what it's going to do is go through your list of resources and show you the ones that match with the criteria that you entered. One nice thing to mention about this, and that is very little known, is that you can do all of this using only the keyboard. So if I type G and slash, this gets the focus, and the recent list shows right away. And again, I can move with the keys, typical interaction pattern that you see everywhere else. I hit enter and I select the first, I type and whatnot. But the important point that I like to come across is that you can find single resource in the portal very easily with the keyboard, no mouse required. All with shortcuts and typing. Now, this is to find one resource. What if you want to find sets of resources? The other option is browse. That is a very popular path. In this case, I selected the list of all resources. And what this list shows you is all the resources at a given scope. How do you scope the list? Well, you have a set of filters here at the top. One interesting thing to mention is that this list goes across multiple subscriptions. The set of resources that I'm seeing here spans 4 subscriptions that I have. Now, one thing that you might notice if you've been using the portal for a while, there are more dropdowns here than there used to be before. So one of the things that we are adding is we added a new set of filters to make it easier and give you better tools to locate what's important to you, what you're looking for, and we will be adding more in the next few weeks. In addition to providing better filtering and ability to find what you want, also we added grouping, so you can group your sets by different criteria. Resource group, type, subscription, etc. So let me show you real quick. Select the resource group grouping. And again, I see all the resources grouped by the different resource groups that I have in those subscriptions or at that scope. Now, this list is a list of everything. So all the columns that you will see here are columns that are common across all those type of resources. So even though it's great and I think it's our most common entry point, in some cases might not be what you're looking for. One of the things that you can do is also we have browse experiences that are tailored to different resources to provide you the most, to make it easier to locate the resource that you're looking for. One example, just to demonstrate the idea, is the VM browse experience. Again, this is the same across every different resource type in Azure. But if I select the list of VMs, you will notice that in this case, first, the list is smaller. I have, in this subscription, 56 VMs only. But you see, I have columns like the status, the operating system of the VM, and the public IP address, which, again, they were not before in the other list, because, again, not all resources have that. One interesting thing that's worthwhile mentioning also is that in the past, for the ones using classic VMs, we have two lists, one for the new, the ARM VMs, and another list in browse for the ARM VMs. One of the things that we are introducing in build is we are joining them both in the virtual machines list. And therefore, you have a single place where you can manage all your VMs. Actually, you can filter by any of those types. If you want to focus on your classic, you can get that. If you want to focus on the new ones, you can do that too. And even further with the grouping also, let's say that I want to group by type. Since I have less classic VMs, I'm going to put that at the top so you can get the idea. But basically, I have all my virtual machine classics and all my new ones. Now, just to make sure that the point lands, one more time, this list fully tailored for VM. If I hit the browser back button and go to the previous list, more resources, but more generic. So we created, we found, what do we do next? The next thing that we want to do is take an action. And what that action would be? Well, it can be multiple things. I might want to take a quick action on a resource or fully configure or manage that resource. So let's see what we can do. Let's see what the portal has in order to help us in that task. So let's go back. And we are going to go to our list of VMs. One of the first things that this has been available forever, this is not new, but in most resource lists, this ellipsis that you see here provides you commands in the context of one instance. So I could connect to this item, start and stop that one. One of the things that we introduced right now as of build, this is going to be in the preview version of the portal, not in the production. It's going to take a while for us to fully finish it. But basically, we introduced the ability of running commands across multiple resources. Let me give you an example. I have here, I'm going to filter my list to the VMs that have the name screen reader. These VMs are VMs that we use to run some software that we use for our accessibility testing, which, by the way, is another area where we are investing quite heavily in the portal team. So I have these VMs. I'm going to select a few of them. These three, for example, I might decide that I want to stop them. And I can do all of that in a single operation, which, again, is a thing that was not available. Actually, it's only available in the preview version of the portal. Once you go to preview, these type of operations, right now we have them only for VM, and we are working on cloud services and web apps. The main idea is that very soon you will have it across the board for all resources, and then you will be able to use it also in production. It's going to take a little bit of a while, but if you want to use that type of interaction, preview is there for you. And you will see it lighting up, you will see it showing up in more and more resource types. So We decided that we might want to take an action. But these are quick actions. I'm starting, stopping, IBM. But sometimes the configuration tasks that you want to do might be more complicated. I want to open a port. I want to change my permissions or whatnot. In that case, for those cases, what you would do is go to the resource, what we call the resource screen, the resource page. And basically, in the resource page, you can see all the details about a given resource. And before, the only thing that we were looking at is the name, the IP, the OS. But here, I can get all the details about this VM, some metrics to understand how things are going, but also not only the full configuration options for the VM, but also access to the full power of the Azure ecosystem. So I can set role-based access control. I can get access to the Azure Resource Manager logs to see every operation that happened on the management plane for this VM. I can tag. I can get troubleshooting. I can get Azure Monitor and a long list of et ceteras. So if that's the case, we have this. Now, you might say this seems, it's awesome, but it might be a little bit overwhelming, and we understand that. So in order to help you understanding that better or being more effective using this screen that has a lot of options, we are introducing in-context documentation that you will see only in the resource page for now, in the resource page. In this very first stage, we will have it for a small set of resources. It's going to be available for at least the ones that I want to call out is virtual machines, Linux and Windows, SQL Server databases, and web apps. But we are working towards expanding it to all the resources. Actually, same thing with almost all these experiences, right? We start from a small set of resources and we keep expanding. Same with bulk commanding, same with documentation. But again, the important point, you get to a resource page and there's a document that helps you navigate what that page is, but more importantly, how to make the most, how to understand, configure, manage that resource. So, okay. Next step, we have our application. Let's say we created, we found them, we configure, we start, we stop. What do we do next? You might find that the way things are laid out in the portal are not working for you. Everybody works differently. We understand that, and we not only design but implement the portal to account for that situation. There are multiple things that you can change in the portal to make it match the way you work. One of them, for example, is this left navigation bar, full of things. It's awesome. It shows some of our most popular offerings. But you might decide that you want to add things, you want to remove things, you want to change the placement of things. You have full control over it. It's your space. You can move things up and down, add, remove, or whatnot. Dashboard, same thing. I show you the default dashboard, but it's not one thing that is cast on stone. You can change it. And even further, you can create your own dashboards, multiple dashboards. You can have private dashboards that are for your own. You can have public dashboards that you can share with your colleagues. When you share a dashboard, the mechanism for sharing is role-based access control. So it's like any other resource in the Azure platform. Also, we understand that we have some grouping mechanisms, like everything goes in a subscription and then in a resource group. But that might not match the way in which you think about your applications. For example, I might have a complex, a multi-tier app in a resource group, but I want to separate the presentation tier from the data tier, from the middle tier, or whatnot. And in order to help you accomplish that, manage things, organize things in the way that work for you, one of the things that we are doing is revamping our tagging experience. So let me show you. Let me do a pause and show you a little bit of the things that I talk about. So first, dashboards. In this case, what you're seeing is a fully customized dashboard. This is the one for the Contoso Loans app. This app is going to be fully explained, built, and all the details that you can imagine in the monitoring session. So if you want to learn more about it, just tune into that session. It's great stuff. But basically what I'm showing you here is that you can have fully management and monitoring dashboards. Again, not only monitoring, but also providing access to resources and operations on resources. Also, as I was saying, not only one, multiple. Great. The next thing that I mentioned is the tagging. So again, before, a few minutes ago, I mentioned that all these VMs pertain to the accessibility app. Let me change to some other. I'm going to change the filter here, and I'm going to show you other set of VMs, ones that I created for a test app that I'm building. It's a bunch of VMs. You can tell that they're mine because they start with LW, Leon Weligi, that's me. But you know, in this case, this is a test app that I'm building. So I'm going to pick a few of them, let's say these first three, and I'm going to assign a tag. Again, tag is an operation that you can assign on sets. This is available for all resources. On preview, not in prod yet. We are working on it. It's work in progress. But you see, I'm going to say the application name. I'm going to find the tag application name. And I'm going to say Leon
test.
I'm going to assign it. Perfect, I assigned to all of them. And now, one of the things that I can do, another thing that I can customize is for every list that is available in the portal, I can change the columns. Not only what columns do I have, but the order or whatnot. See, I have a column chooser. In those set of columns that I can choose not only the columns that are properties of the VM, but also the tags. So those tags behave like any other column. Right now, as soon as I do that, I can sort by that tag. And very soon, not right now, but that's one thing that we are working on. Again, this is a very early on feature, but you're going to be able to sort by that tag as well. By the way, very importantly, tags have been available for a long time now. What we are working on is fully integrating tags in the main experiences in the portal, the places that most people go when they work and they manage their Azure applications. So let's recap. We can customize the left navigation bar, which, by the way, let me show you very quickly. I move this up, and I can... I'm going a little bit off script here, but I could, you know, if I want to remove anything, for example, billing, I take it out, it's not going to show anymore. I take VMs, they go away. If I add them, they come back. We can change the left navigation bar, the dashboard, the columns in Browse, and even further, if we want to organize the resources in any other way than the ones that, using the means that we have, we can use tags to create our own grouping and hierarchy of things. So, we build our app, we have it, it's working. What's next? See what's next in our journey. So we made it ours. Not only we build an app, but we customize the entire environment to match the way we work. Now, you might be, some people, I mean, there's a lot of folks, it's very common in our target audience, that people identify themselves as shell guys. They like doing things with the console. I mean, I really like point and click. This is awesome. I can point, click, move things around, drag, drop. That's great, fantastic. But typically I feel more comfortable when I'm with a shell. And we are very happy to introduce the Cloud Shell. At Build, we are introducing the public preview of the Cloud Shell. One way, I mean, there are multiple ways in which you will hear that the Cloud Shell is referred to, but one that I really like is shell access to Azure from everywhere. Basically, you know, this is great. I mean, you're in the portal, and all of a sudden, you get a fully authenticated shell that you can use to interact with your Azure resources. Also, another thing that is very worthwhile calling is that the persistence of the information that you have in that shell, I mean, sorry, the files that you have there are persistent. So if you're in a session and you do a bunch of stuff and then you want to come back to that, that's fine. I mean, it's going to all be there. Even if you go from machine to machine or even from device to device, it's going to be there. That's great. And let me show it to you briefly rather than talking about it. So you see here I'm in my list of VMs and I'm seeing the list. That's great. But I might decide that I want to go to the shell. I jump to it too quickly. The place where it's placed in the portal is in this top navigation bar. It has a prime real estate location such that it's not missed. There, it's a very important part of the platform. We want to make sure that all of you use it and let us know what you think. So hit the Cloud Shell. There, I'm logged. Let me show you. I have a list of VMs. I can get the list, the same list here. Stable. I can start a VM. I can stop a VM. Anything that you can do with a shell, you can do with Cloud Shell. Great. So, if you are a shell person, please try the public preview of the Cloud Shell and let us know what you think. So let's get back to our flow. Basically, we started, created, found, configured, customized. Now, we are getting to a point that some of those flows, we might be more comfortable with the shell and we might create our own scripts such that we can get all the advantage of the UI, but also all the advantage of using a shell. What's next? At this point, you have a fully running app in Azure. Once you have an app, the next question is, how do I make the most out of Azure? How can I ensure that I'm running with the right cost? That my app is secure, it's there in the cloud. I need it to be secure, I need to be fast. And for that, in order to answer that question, I'm going to introduce Manbin Kohli, who is going to tell us all about Azure Expert.
Hi, my name is Manbin Kohli, and I'm a product manager for Azure Advisor. In the next few minutes, I'll show you how you can use Azure Advisor to make the most of your Azure resources and to accelerate the success of your business applications powered by Azure. So what is Azure Advisor? You can think of Azure Advisor as a personalized cloud consultant that delivers best practices recommendations to improve the security, performance, and availability of your Azure resources while identifying cost optimization opportunities. So you can access the Azure Advisor dashboard through the Azure portal, and you can pick a subscription for which you'd like to get recommendations. The dashboard delivers recommendations in four categories. There's high availability, security, performance, and cost. So let's take a look at a cost optimization recommendation that can help reduce your virtual machine spend. Azure Advisor analyzes your virtual machine usage for 14 days, and if it identifies four or more days with low CPU and network utilization, it flags those as low usage virtual machines. So once it identifies low usage virtual machines, you can view the usage patterns of those virtual machines. And in this case, what you'll see is the virtual machine does have a low CPU utilization for the past 14 days. Once it identifies the low usage VMs, it also suggests actions that you can take to lower your cost. You can choose to resize the virtual machine or shut it down, and the actions can be performed within the context of the recommendation itself. Under potential savings, you can see the amount that you'd save if you were to shut down the virtual machine. Next, let's take a look at a recommendation that can help improve the high availability of your availability sets and helps avoid potential issues. So Advisor identifies availability sets with virtual machines sharing storage accounts, and it recommends migrating to managed disks. Managed disks ensure that your virtual machines in an availability set are sufficiently isolated from each other, which will guarantee data redundancy during an outage caused by storage, because it's going to avoid a single point of failure. Now, in addition to surfacing recommendations, Advisor also provides the ability to snooze recommendations for a specific time period or to dismiss a recommendation. So that essentially is Azure Advisor in a nutshell. You can also access recommendations via REST APIs. We'd love for you to access Advisor recommendations and provide us with thoughts on how we can make the service better to help you be more successful with Azure. Next, Dushant will talk to you about Azure Health.
All right, let's talk about Azure Health. Now you've built your app, you've optimized your app. Let's say there's a service issue that happens that affects your application. Actually, I'll start from the beginning. I didn't introduce myself. Hey folks, I'm Dushant Gill. I'm a product manager with Azure Health. What you saw is how to build a new application in Azure Portal, how to use the features of Azure Portal, and optimize your Azure usage using Azure Advisor. Now, let's say there is an Azure service issue that happens and it affects your application and it causes downtime. Oh, I'm getting a call, and this call is from PagerDuty. It's alerting me to an Azure outage. I'm going to get to it in a moment. So an Azure service issue affects your resources, causes downtime. You go ahead, you build high availability for your application, you build resilience, but the next time there's a service issue that affects your application, you want to be notified. You want to be notified when there's planned maintenance happening for your applications, and that's where Azure Health comes in. Azure Health is a new experience that we're launching backed by the Azure Health service. By the way, I was looking at the uptime of these clouds. There's a third-party company, an independent company, Cloud Harmony, that calculates uptime of compute across Azure, AWS, and Google, and I'm seeing past 30 days, Google had an uptime of 99.9961, AWS had 99.9996, and Azure had 100% uptime. It doesn't matter how many uptime points a cloud gains, if you are a customer that's affected by one of the downtime points, your business can be affected. So let's take a look at Azure Health experience. We'll step into the shoes of Ellen. She received a call from PagerDuty that informed her that an Azure outage is affecting her resources. She goes to the portal and she has pinned two different service health views on her portal dashboard. This is the new experience that we're launching in limited preview. And first experience that she's pinned is for the engineering and operations environment, and the other one is for the sales environment. She quickly understands that there's a there's an outage going on in virtual machines in West US. They're running production services in West US, so it gets her attention. In the Azure Health Dashboard, it's one place where Ellen gets all information about Azure service issues that are affecting her resources, planned maintenance that is affecting her resources, as well as any other availability-related announcements that have come from Azure services. She can also browse all of the events that have happened in the past in health history. All right, let's take a look at this incident. First thing to notice is Azure Health Dashboard is a personalized experience. The map is showing only the regions where Azure, where Ellen is using Azure resources. She can personalize it further. She can filter it down to the subscriptions she cares about, the regions she cares about, as well as the resource types she wants to monitor, if you may. For the incident, she's quickly able to understand that this is a virtual machine outage in West US. She gets the last message that Azure has sent her regarding this service issue. One of the first things our customers do when we tell them there's a problem in a service in a region, they go through all their subscriptions, create a list of resources in that region of that service, and then they send out that list to their teams saying, hey, these resources might be affected. We've made it very easy in Azure Health Dashboard. Ellen can quickly click the potential impact, export it to a CSV file, and share that CSV with her teams. Another thing she can do is she can download a summary of the issue as a PDF, and she can share this summary with folks who do not have access to the portal, for example, her customers or the tier one teams that might not have access. That's a nifty feature, and she can also save this information in any problem management system that they're using. Ellen goes back, she gets a link to the issue. She can now use this link with the tracking code in her problem management system, and she can enter it there. Lovely. Let's say Ellen needs support. She needs help in recovering a virtual machine that did not recover after this issue. We also provide support. You can contact us using our Twitter account, or Azure Health Dashboard also provides technical support to recover resources that did not recover from the outage. That's the experience of the service issues. Planned maintenance, similarly, in Azure Health Dashboard, you'll get to understand what are the events that are scheduled, planned for your resources that can cause downtime for your machines, for your resources. And Azure Health Dashboard tells you how to avoid that downtime in terms of design that you can do, as well as it informs you when it is planned, the maintenance, when it is going to conclude. The other announcements, like I said, were related to availability, not planned maintenance, not service issues. These are announcements which are for example, perf recommendations or, I'll repeat that. These are announcements for availability-related events which aren't service issues. For example, if you're deprecating an API, we announce them through this channel. Now, one of the things our customers told us is it's very difficult to manage all of the announcements and notifications coming from Azure in the inboxes. Azure Health makes it very simple to come into one place and manage all of these notifications there. All right, so let's see how Ellen configured that alert in the first place when she was alerted of the service issue. It's pretty simple. In Azure Monitor, we have an experience for activity log alerts. So I'm going to the alerts in Azure Monitor. And a new activity log alert basically creates alerts for service issues also. Here are some that I've created already. You'll see that these alerts are routing service health related issues to their corp IT systems. In this case, they're routing those alerts to their PagerDuty system, which they're using for problem management in their organization. How it gets routed to the systems is using the Action Groups feature. Action Groups in Azure are collections of people and systems that can be recipients of the alerts. So the Action Groups that are created here, you'll see, are people that are going to be notified, as well as systems are going to be that are going to be notified here. All Ellen has done is she's taken a webhook from PagerDuty that she configured on PagerDuty side, and she has put it in as an action group in Azure, and that action group is notified of any service health issues that are happening in the subscription. It's that simple. On the PagerDuty side, you'll see that she's configured is an Azure outage service, and in that, she's configured an integration for Azure Health. In the integrations, she gets the webhook right away, and that's what she used. for the notifications. So that's how simple it is to get support during outages, get guidance from Azure during outages. Azure Health Dashboard, what I showed you, is announcing it today. It's available in limited preview. If you wish to sign up for Azure Health Dashboard, go to aka.ms/iwantazurehealth. aka.ms/iwantazurehealth. This URL is also available in the resources at the end of the presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dushan. That was great stuff. So all of these that we've shown is great. It's awesome. But it all requires you to be in front of a computer, which is the case for typically 8 hours of the day for all of us. But in some cases, you're not in front of a computer, and you still want to be connected, informed, and in control. For those cases, we are happy to introduce at Build the public preview of our Azure mobile app. The Azure mobile app lets you stay, again, connected to your Azure applications, informed of what's going on, and in control. You can take quick action such that if there's anything happening, you can react anywhere you are. A few things that are worthwhile call out of the Azure mobile app. I'm going to bring it here. So one of the things is, as soon as you get into the app, the first thing that you will see is the favorites. Basically, again, we understand that in an Azure subscription, you may have multiple things. So if you go to your list of things, you might not find easily what you want. So we let you decide what's important to you, and we put it front and center as soon as you open the app. Of course, if you don't set any favorite, we will take you to the full list of resources. But you have the option of telling us what's important to you, and we'll bring it front and center to you. You have full experience for managing VMs. You can take full actions with the VM. You can see metrics, monitoring, health, starting and stopping, taking actions. Even one thing that one of my favorite features is when I'm in a VM, for example, aside of taking actions, I can, if I want to connect, if you have RDP installed, we are going to open RDP and pass all the information about the VM. So you can connect to your VM in a single click. Also, in the cases where you have alerts, where there's anything that we need to push to you, not only we show you the health and anything that happened in the management plane in the last 7 days, but also, if there's any alert or anything that you need to know, we show it at the top of the screen, such that you don't miss it. It's there for you. A few minutes ago, Dushan was telling us all about the notifications and the Azure Health and all of that. We have a notifications tab here where all the awesome information that Dushan was referring to is going to be available to you, so you can stay on top of what's going on. And even further, and more interestingly, I just talked about the console, which is awesome, the Cloud Shell, sorry, and the Cloud Shell is also available in the phone. So in the same way that in the portal, you can interact with Azure through a graphical user interface and a console, in the mobile app, you can interact with Azure through a graphical user interface and a shell. Basically, with this app, you're taking all the power of Azure in your pocket wherever you go. One thing that I would ask is that download it, try it out, and let us know what you think. So let's recap. We went from start to making the most out of Azure. We started, and when we get started, and we saw how we are trying to give you all the right documentation and help such that you can learn about how the portal works. Then all the tools that we added for you to give you less friction when you create your resources, simpler creation forms, better ARM template deployment, or all the support for execution, for creating or running your ARM templates. Then, how do we find stuff? Well, we saw like the global search, the options that we have with browse, more filters in browse, grouping, and all those things. Then, we decided that we wanted to take an action. And that action can be on one resource, or we introduce actions across multiple resources. We saw that we could stop multiple VMs or assign tags to multiple things, or go to the resource screen, which has all the options that Azure has to offer. And if you feel a little bit overwhelmed, there's some help for you that connects your experience to our revamped docs experience. Then, once we acted, the next thing is like we decided that the default configuration of the portal was not what we, I mean, didn't match the way we work, so we changed it all to match the way in which we work, what's important to us. After that, we have our app, we were going, but we learned that there's a way of making the most out of Azure. And Azure can help there. We use Azure Advisor to get all these recommendations to make sure that our app is running on cost and with the right quality of service, performance, security, and whatnot. And then we learn how to stay informed in the case of unforeseen circumstances with Azure Health, private preview. And we ended up with our phone, with Azure mobile, sorry, with our mobile app public preview. One thing to mention is that we describe an experience that goes across multiple interaction patterns and form factors. You can interact with Azure through a point-and-click graphical user interface. Or you can use a shell. Or you can use both together in combination. You can do it on a computer. You can do it on a mobile phone. You can do it on a tablet. But the idea is that no matter where you are or what you're trying to do, we have an experience to help you accomplish your goals. So let's finish with a few calls to action. The first one, start building apps on Azure. And when you do, by the way, use Azure Advisor. It's an awesome feature that will help you make the most out of Azure, truly. The next one, use our preview features. We introduced several of them in this session. Let's go through them. We have the preview version of the portal. If you want to be in the cutting edge or want to see what's coming or whatnot, just use it. And as you do, please let us know what you think. Feel free to write me directly. I'd love to hear from you. Then we introduced Azure Cloud Shell, the public preview. Same thing. Download, please, the mobile app, and let us know what you think as well. And sign up for the Azure Health Limited preview. Dushan mentioned what's the URL. I'm going to mention it again. AKAMS, I want Azure Health, and you're going to be in after that. Then another ask that I have, this more of kind of a personal ask, but I'd love if you could create, I know that many of you create awesome dashboards, and I see several of those. If you have some of those that you can share with us, I'd love to see them. And you know, one of the things that we are trying to put together is we want to create a wall of dashboards. Basically, all the dashboards that we get from you, if you are okay with that, should do it over email and agree on that, but there's no sensitive information there. But we'd love to create a wall of dashboard in our team room to inspire us with the work that you do with the portal. So please, if you have any awesome dashboard and you can share it, send it my way. I'd love to hear from you and see what you're doing. And the team will love that too. And then one other thing, this is a user experience product. One of the things that we do all the time is conduct user research. We are doing usability studies every single week. If you are interested in being part of those studies, and even some of those studies are about features that we might not even end up building based on the results of those studies. So you get to see like very, very, very early on ideas or things as they get built. You can sign up for that. Our URL is AKAMS, Build Ox Research. So if you're interested in helping us in that capacity, please sign up. We'd love to hear from you. We are always looking for help there. So final thing, one last parting thought. Your feedback is key and always welcome. And you might say, hey, yeah, everybody says that, which is true, everybody says that. But one of the things you will notice that from time to time, you will get like a prompt in the portal, like small window that will say, from a scale from 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend this to a friend or colleague? You can provide a number, and then you can give us a reason why you give that number. And you can also decide if you can tell us if you want us to contact or not. There's a checkbox there. You might think, who reads them? We take that very, very seriously. We read that feedback every single day. Actually, I personally read every one of the entries every single day. The entire team does. And what we do is we classify all those entries, and we use all that information as part of our planning process, our feature evaluation, and to know how are we doing and what we should do next. So if you want to get involved in the process of making this better, making Azure awesome, just give us feedback in that channel too. And again, if you check the I can be contacted, it's pretty likely that we are going to contact you as well to learn more about what you said. So please, know that feedback is very important. We use it, we read it. It's a key aspect of our planning process. So with that, that's all I had. Thank you very, very much for joining this session. And please, build apps in Azure and let us know what you think. Thank you.